Ask Catherine. This one I read before. I wanted to just touch on it again. Hello, Catherine. I'm a new subscriber. I've followed your work on Unpacking Mr. Global for a few years with great delight and enthusiasm. Nothing interests me more, excites me more than putting on the They Live glasses and looking behind the curtain. I have many questions, but I'll ask only one for now. Concerning Al Gore's recent anti-oil campaign, do you think it's possible Mr. Global is using useful idiot Gore to get big university endowments to sell their blocks of shares in a bit of a panic to power elite insiders? This question is premised on the assumption that Mr. Global has big plans for exporting refined product, petrochemicals, LNG, and shoring up the empire from its base in the U.S., along with agriculture, as you point out, this article from Foreign Affairs on America's energy opportunity. Was this the article you were thinking of in the Jim Norman interview? Basically says, harm the Middle East, decrease consumption of refined product in U.S. by using alternatives at the margin, and then export refined product in LNG. Basically, Al Gore says sell big oil and Warren Buffett buys Exxon. I think Warren is savvy and Gore is a stooge. What do you think? Thanks for your time, Catherine. I know you're busy. Interestingly enough, Buffett just announced a major wind energy deal, going to be a combination of renewable and, or he just announced a major wind deal. I think what the Council on Foreign Relations has said, and or what they've published as articles in Foreign Affairs saying, what we want to see is a combination of fossil fuel and renewable fuels. We want to essentially have a very robust, very diverse and resilient energy base, which I think is the case. I do think this idea of Gore running around and doving tail with a university endowment selling oil and gas is a very interesting development, and I'm glad you asked about it. I'm not sure what it's about. I do think there's a lot of innovation coming. My guess is what it's about is if you're going to engineer a new sort of tech bubble, you want to get people excited about the possibilities of new energy. At the same time, you may be hoping that that's going to help you export a lot more, and but you're certainly not going to give up the base. The fossil fuel base, I think, is going to be around for quite some time. So I think it does make an opening for the, you know, a new innovation bubble, and I think it makes it easier to export. So I think your points are very well taken. Dear Soleri, I've heard Catherine speak about similar activities that's been going on with within our government. Here's an article and video discussion of people and companies who have been submitting their own technology to the government, and the government begins plagiarizing and using the technology for themselves. That's an old and very common story, so it doesn't surprise me. We put the post up to the story at Fox News. A lot of times it's not just the government, but you may have individual bureaucrats or politicians who see the opportunity to turn that, sort of give that technology and give it away in exchange for a variety of different formal and informal kickbacks. So, one should always assume with dealing with the government that you're not necessarily dealing with honorable parties. It was very interesting. I saw a very good interview of Elon Musk saying they never file patents because it just makes it easier for other people to steal it. I thought that was a very sage comment on his part. Next question. Could you please comment on the following information from John Hathaway of the Tocqueville Gold Fund? I put a link up on the blog of the article of this article's, or we'll put a link up in subscribers to the piece by John. Essentially, what he's talking about is the sort of the march to financial and political repression, and what's going on is an effort to control more and more where money can go and how it's going to be managed. One of the things the person asking the question says, does this mean an outgoing bank wire is going to be stopped in the U.S. and 30% taken out if I send money to gold money? That's referring to penalties of sending money to a company that is not compliant with FATCA. I think it's very unlikely that gold money would be out of compliance, but we have seen wires stopped. There's sort of an ongoing economic warfare to keep money from flowing freely out of the country. There's never any problem when the money flows back in. I do think that the what we're watching is a steady growth of repression. I do find Hathaway's article to be a little bit naive. I'm not worried. You know, the ultimate control is the control not of your money, but of your physical body. It's one thing to hold up bank accounts, but it's another thing to spray chemtrails over your head for the last 10 years. So I still have this sense of disassociation when I hear the financial guys rant about these things, because frankly, if you look at what's been happening with the food, with the vaccines, with chemtrails, the bigger problem is not that somebody's going to control my bank account. It's that they're going to poison me and I'll be dead long before my bank account is. So I think, you know, we're dealing with a very serious story of repression. If you look at the facts of what's been happening in the food supply, in environmental pollution, you know, a hypothesis of what is going on as an alien invasion at this point is more logical than the problems of currency and debasement. That's what I was writing about when I wrote my blog post, Breaking Through the Cloud Cover. If you haven't read it, you might want to go back. So yes, I agree with Hathaway, but I think the story is far deeper and it's a much greater problem. If you haven't seen the interview I did with Alex Jones in 2010 called The Looting of America, I think it lays it out pretty well. One of the things Hathaway talks about is the extraordinary amount of gold going to China. And yes, we're seeing reports, very significant reports of gold going to China. Hathaway, I should mention, is a very credible money manager. He runs the Tocqueville Gold Fund. I have the greatest respect for Hathaway. At the same time, I don't trust the information about gold going to China, because the question is it really going to China, or is that an air cover? Is it going someplace else? So I think the published information on the different inventories of gold leaves a lot to be desired, and I think there's a deeper story going on here, and we don't yet know what it is, but I'm always interested to read what Hathaway has to say. Dear Catherine, Lindsay Williams made some comments about a global currency reset possibly on the horizon for 2014. I would like your thoughts on the likelihood of this occurring and who would benefit the most. Since almost all currencies are fiat these days, I find it hard to fathom what the replacement would be. Yet the thought of holding worthless dollars makes me want to put most of my assets in gold and silver. Currency resets have been happening all along. In essence, the debasement, you know, the kind of reset that Lindsay Williams is talking about is a fast reset. What the slow burn and the debasement has been is a slower reset. So the question is, are we going to do it fast or slow? I don't see the scenario that Williams described for 2014 as likely. I do think, as he talks about, the goal of Obamacare was control, and that with control of the healthcare system in place, it makes it easier to proceed with more rounds of financial repression. That's why it's so important in 2013 that the federal push for gun control failed, because I think a well-armed population is one of the few things standing in the way of the kind of financial repression that is possible. The big question on the currencies, of course, is not, I don't think it's the way Williams poses it. I think it's how fast can they get to an all-digital currency, because if you can move to an all-digital currency, things can get pretty controlled. So with that in mind, I wouldn't say that you want to put all your assets in gold and silver. I don't think you want to put all your assets in anything. I'm a great believer in having things spread around, but you certainly want significant assets and tangibles. You want assets invested in your health, your skills. You want much greater personal resilience. And I, for one, continue to believe that a good position, a core position in gold and silver is very appropriate. And that's why I think I wanted to highlight that story on the exchanges. You're watching the countries with very strong growth around the world going to a place where they can have very significant positions in gold and silver. So they want a core position. I think we do too. But I wouldn't put all your eggs in any basket, including gold and silver for sure. And don't expect gold and silver to trade well in the near future and maybe the intermediate future.